Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank the Lord.
Now, I believe everybody here knows what Holy Communion's all about, the Lord's Supper, what we're about to celebrate. How many have had a whole lot of communion services that you have attended? A bunch. How many only had a few? You've been saved, you've had a few. You're in for some good things in the future when we come together. If you're not in a situation and a circumstance where it has become just a given, we're going to serve communion because it's Easter, we're going to do it because it's Christmas, we're going to do it because it's the first Sunday. One of the dangers of Holy Communion is that it will become nothing more to us than a religious ritual, something we neatly fit in a well-timed service between the announcements and the special song and the preaching and all the other things on the agenda. I was in a church like that. It was a Pentecostal background, Spirit-filled church, charismatic, in all the gifts of the Spirit in operation. When it came time for Holy Communion, I was prepared to really focus on Jesus, hear something that'll make me want to follow Him more closely, have a more intimate, personal relationship with Him, have a more grateful heart, and show that heart by the way that I serve Him. But instead, they said, "Yeah, time for communion." They grabbed the trays because they were running behind schedule. The schedule was to get it on, get it done, and get us out. Because people wanted to get it on, get it done, and get us out. So that's what they did. They got us in, they got it on, they got us out. And when the tray was passed, they took more time passing the offering tray than the communion tray. More time given to the offering than there was to celebrating Jesus, the King of Glory and our Sovereign Savior. Praise God. I was disappointed because I wanted something to challenge me to get closer to God, to live closer to God, to love Him back for loving me like He did. But it had become what it has become in so many churches. The testimony of a young lady, she's 30-something years old, been going to church, same church, for 14 years, working in the church, helping coordinate things, very busy with everything concerning the church. And one Sunday, she walked away from church. Not because she backslid, not because she quit loving Jesus. She walked away from church, in her words, because I just got tired of everything just going on like it always goes on. I was hungry for more of God. And church wasn't drawing me into a situation where I could receive more. It was not about the personality of the preacher or the preaching itself. The word was being brought forth. But it was just matter-of-factly brought forth. And so what she did, she had some brothers and sisters that were also hungry for God. And in her case, she went to a coffee shop and met with them. They sat at a table for 2 hours. Church was 1 hour. You know how that goes. Stopped at a gnat's eyebrow of quill to make sure everybody, that's really right on the dot. So that everybody can get out, get home, and get it. Go do something that's fulfilling. Some young people are disillusioned with church because they've been given the greatest show that could ever be put on to engage them, to where it's not just monotone and they're sitting in the view going through the same thing. I mean, there's dancing and there's movement and there's fogged in certain songs, and there's laser lights, and I mean, if that, you know, if you're young and you're focused, this is fun. It's a lot of fun. Let me tell you something. If communion doesn't cause us to graduate from just what we're about to do, and we should do it and continue to do it.
Amen.
But there's a graduation from this communion, physical communion, to a spiritual communion.
Yes. Amen.
With God and with Christ.
Yes.
The apostles achieved that, and they said, truly, our fellowship, our relationship with God is not just a church and religious
Amen.
Relationship.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Our koinonia
yeah,
is the Greek
the
word.
Yeah.
Say it with me. Koinonia.
Koinonia.
Our koinonia.
Yeah.
And it always means, in every circumstance, an intimate, personal relationship.
Hallelujah.
An intimate,
yeah.
personal
yes,
relationship. When the Apostle Paul said, with all these experiences, the average Pentecostal would say, I got it all. Lord have mercy. I got it all. I was taken to heaven, whether in the body, out of body, I know not. I saw things I can't even utter. Revelation, he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He said that, though I speak in tongues more than you all, come on, that's
Amen.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. They said nobody in the whole group of Christians at that time spoke in tongues more than the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
He had revelation, direct, distinct revelation from God.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it from the other apostles or disciples.
Amen.
He spent 2 weeks with Peter, and that was it.
Yes, sir.
According to the scripture. And the rest of it is just him and God.
Amen.
Him and Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Well, what brought him into that kind of relationship where God could be that real and the Holy Spirit that revealing to him of God's truth? I believe it's clear in scripture when he said, oh, that I might get more gifts of the Spirit.
No, sir.
Oh,
no, sir.
That I might be more powerful when
no,
I
sir.
Preach. Oh, that I might be more well known
no,
as
sir.
Such a great preacher, teacher, and speaker.
No, sir.
As a matter of fact, he said, I'm not a great
Amen.
Speaker. He said, I'm not. He said, my letters are weighty. I can write it down. But when it comes to speaking, it's contemptible. I'm not. It wasn't his anointing to speak. It was something else. Oh, that I might know him.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that I might know him. If we just keep going through that we should do, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. But don't stop with just the physical act of communion.
Amen.
We're to graduate. It's
yes.
to draw us.
Yes.
It's to show us. God wants more. He wants us to partake of Him.
Amen.
In a spiritual way. No less tangible than what we're about to do here today.
Amen.
How many are going to hold that wafer
yes.
when we're given?
Yes.
Tangible. You're going to touch it.
Right.
How many are going to hold the little plastic cup with the juice in it? It's tangible. You can touch it. You see, God, though a spirit, He's tangible.
Amen.
You can't see Him. He's invisible, but He's more real than anything we can feel,
yes.
see, or touch.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And He wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
This is not a fantasy. This is not children's church.
Come on.
We've been in children's church too long.
Amen.
And what that young woman in her 30s, she's a young woman to me. How old are you?
32.
32. You're a young man. How old are you?
63.
You're a young man to me.
Amen.
What was she missing? What was she missing? She's involved in church 14 years and never don't miss a Sunday unless she's out sick. She's involved in all the activities of the church. She's received communion like we're about to. But she's looking for something more, and the something more is and it's not a church that's more, you know, more, I don't want to use the term the big show. She's listen, folks, unless those young people and us as Christians for years find a relationship with God,
amen, brother,
where He feels,
yes,
filled that vacancy,
yes,
in our heart and,
oh,
our lives and our soul with Himself.
Amen.
Unless we find a spiritual communion with Christ, we walk away empty.
Come on, amen.
Entertained,
right,
but empty. Sit for 1 hour in church and it becomes just the routine. You know what's going to happen every single Sunday. Sit for 2 hours with three friends in a coffee shop, studying the Word, talking about Jesus, talking about how wonderful it is to be a Christian, finding a relationship with God,
amen,
and with Christ and with the Word of God, that's more just sitting and dutifully,
yes,
listening, but partaking of Christ.
Yes.
Partaking. We're going to partake today of something tangible. Just because He's here in spirit and not in His flesh and blood body doesn't mean the tangible Christ that rose from the dead is not spiritually with us,
amen,
in a personal, powerful way.
Amen, brother.
He's here.
Yes.
He's here.
Amen.
And we're here.
Yes.
And if it doesn't change, more are going to leave the church. Because they know what church is going to be. You got three. You got the song. You got the offering. You got communion if you're going to have it. You got the preaching. You got the benediction. You go home. You got the potluck supper on Wednesday. Just look at what the Bible says. It's meant to remind us this holy communion, Lord's supper, of His suffering for our sake, but also to reveal Him to us, that we might know Him and spiritually partake of Him. We may handle the emblems and taste them, but we don't just handle them, taste them. We actually drink them, swallow them, internalize them. Cross was made of wood. It wasn't figurative. It was real. Tangible. How many have been going to church for many years? Many years. How many know there's a general way it all runs? It just runs that way. If you don't go beyond just going to church,
hallelujah,
dutifully listening to the preacher,
hallelujah,
giving in the offering, clapping your hands when the time comes, we will never partake of Christ.
Come on.
We'll never spiritually have a personal communion, fellowship, koinonia relationship with Him. Laodicea had everything they wanted as a church. They were the seventh that sit in a semicircle geographically in Asia, the book of Revelation. The last was Laodicea. And the Bible said of them, they were rich. This was their testimony. It wasn't about Jesus anymore. It was about the material world and all the gain you can get. And we got a Laodicean attitude in certain movements today.
Amen.
It's all for the material wealth and the material gain. Amen. Called the prosperity movement. I wish above all things that you be in good health and prosper. That's it. No, that's His highest desire, is that you become rich as a Wall Street mogul, rich as a Hollywood star or a sports star. That's all God wants and all you can expect from Him, and that's probably all you need, because if you get all that stuff and you're a Christian and you're going to heaven when you die, and you're not in a hurry to die because you've got so much here to have to leave when you do die.
Yeah.
You're so comfortable in the world with the material. Listen, to that church, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He should never have to ask to come in. Amen?
Amen.
Now we can use that, and we can actually not do a terrible injustice to Scripture to call in people to salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But this was not the world.
Amen.
This was not the sinner, the lost.
Amen.
This was the church of Laodicea.
Amen.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, he didn't just want to come in and fellowship with them. He was crying out to them, let me in. Let me in. I didn't save you to become more worldly. By becoming more wealthy. And there's nothing wrong with wealth if you have what he's offering to keep you in balance. The love of money for the sake of money and the material blessings that you can have and what it does to you when you have the power and recognition of it. The pride that rises up. Nothing wrong if we get this right. Nothing wrong with having a service and having communion if we get this right. But if we don't get this right, it's meaningless to us and to God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. What's he want? Listen. Revelation chapter 3. I will come in. You open that door. I'll come in. And I will sup with you and you with me. Everybody say koinonia. Everybody say fellowship. Amen. This, we have a relationship. He said, I want to give you more than a relationship. I want you to have fellowship.
Amen.
I have a relationship with my wife.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? That's my wife. That's my woman sitting right there.
Like it or not.
Self.
Death to us part.
Woman right there. Amen. But I have a marriage. I don't just have a wife. On paper, I don't have a wife in legal, you know, the legal sense of it. God doesn't. What's going to happen? What happened in the Jewish marriage? What is the type of the coming of the Lord? I don't have time to go into all of it, but there is a betrothal. Amen. This young man picks out a woman and he offers her glass or whatever it is. She takes it. They're betrothed. Amen. And the parents get involved. They're betrothed. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I've espoused you to one husband.
Yes, amen.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ.
Amen.
Your past is gone. Your sin is expunged. Yeah. And now, you can wear white and mean it. Can you say amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of wearing that one that represents your past, I'd hate to see that dress and what it looks like. Anyway, let's move on past the past. Amen.
Amen.
A chaste virgin under Christ? Are we talking man, woman, God relationship in the same sense? Paul starts talking about a man's love for his wife, their intimacy with one another. He said, howbeit, I'll show you a mystery.
Right.
I'm not just talking about a man and a woman. Talking about Christ and His church.
Yes.
If you want to find something that intimate in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
The love.
Yeah.
The love. The desire to be together in relationship intimately is vividly portrayed.
Yeah.
It's PG-13 rated. He talks about her physical beauty. And his attraction to her physically. But there's more than that. We know there's more than that. But she has this desire for her beloved. There's love going on. Not just lust going on, but there's genuine love going on. Have daughters of Jerusalem. Have you seen my beloved?
Yeah.
And they said, we haven't. And that didn't sway her at all. She just kept on looking for him. Longing for him.
Yeah.
Listen, the coming of the Lord to them that look. He shall appear.
Come on.
The second time. Yeah. Without sin. Unto salvation. You know who's looking for him? Those who are longing for him. Can you say
amen? Amen.
I can't wait to see Jesus.
Amen.
Gates of pearl. I don't know how many years it's going to take before I pay any attention to those gates. Oh, some people would rather hear about heaven than him. Tell me what heaven's going to be like. Some people would rather hear about who we speculatively the Antichrist might be than who Jesus Christ really is.
Come on.
Oh, he said the Antichrist is going to come from here. He's going to be that. Listen, until he's revealed, until God's time for him to come on the scene, nobody's going to figure out who he is.
Amen.
Dear Lord, did somebody come up with the idea that it was Trump? I know Trump has got a lot of flaws. We need to pray for him. Amen?
Amen.
Biden had them too.
Amen.
Hey, before we get out of here, you and me have them too.
Amen.
We pray for one another, pray for our president. But he's not the Antichrist.
No. Amen.
I mean, dear Lord. They've called him everything else, now they're calling him the Antichrist. Now, I'm not taking up for him, I'm just saying. They thought it was Kaiser Wilhelm in World War I. They thought it might be Hitler in World War II. Speculating. I was teaching on the book of Revelation, and a lady came that only came because I was teaching on the book of Revelation. I opened up the Bible to the book of Revelation, the revelation of St. John, the revelation to St. John of Jesus Christ, and I defined in the Greek the word revelation. And the word revelation, you hear it today, apocalypse, apocalyptic, apocalyptico, amen. It means the unveiling of something that was previously hidden. And in the case of the beginning of the book of Revelation, it's the unveiling of a person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I heard a voice. Oh, come on, get with me this morning. We're going to have communion in a minute, but I want you to get this today. The unveiling of a person. We talked about that. I was so excited about the revelation of Jesus, not the one that rode into Jerusalem that they put on the cross, but the one that's coming again, glorified to judge the earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. John said, I heard a voice behind me. It sounded like a trumpet blast, and the voice of many waters flowing like Niagara Falls. It was deafening. I turned around to see who this voice was coming from. And I saw him, and his hair was as wool. His eyes were a burning fire. He had a robe down to the foot. He had a belt of pure gold. His feet were as burnished brass. And he said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. And I am he that was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. Can you say that? Hallelujah. This is the Jesus that's coming back.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah.
We get sentimental about the Jesus on the donkey.
Come on.
He's not coming back on a donkey.
Yes, sir.
He's coming back on a white horse.
Yes. Amen.
There's a name on his thigh written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
The revelation of Jesus. The resurrected, glorified, coming soon Jesus.
Amen.
And she came back to church because she didn't come to hear about Jesus Christ. She came to hear who the Antichrist might be. You're a Christian more interested in who the Antichrist might be than who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
message. She said, but we thought you were going to talk about who the Antichrist was. I said, we could get to that eventually, but that's not the primary part of the book of Revelation. That's what we sensationalize. Oh, what about the trumpet and bowl judgments? What about what's going to occur on the earth? Oh yeah, all that's going to come. We can get to that if we keep going. But if we miss this, we miss the point.
Amen.
It's not the revelation of the Antichrist.
Amen.
It's not the revelation of the plague. It's not the revelation of the judgments.
Amen.
It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Divine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh! That I might know who the Antichrist is. No! No! Oh! That I might know Him!
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
The fellowship of His suffering,
yes,
the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
Paul got to know it.
Yes, sir.
First John says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father,
yes, sir,
and His Son.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Truly, our koinonia is with the Father and with His Son.
Yes.
Why did that lady leave church? Because she's not challenged to have fellowship with God through prayer, through the Word of God, through the worship of God. Not just sitting, watching the show, but participating and partaking of Jesus.
Yes.
If you've been in church for years, you're in danger. You know what's your danger of? Going through the motions.
Yeah. No
koinonia. No koinonia.
Yeah.
Book of Revelation, chapter 3. Behold, to the church of Laodicea.
Yeah.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
Any man hear my voice and open the door. Let me in.
Yeah.
That have a desire for this fellowship relationship.
Amen.
I will come in and I will sup with you and you will sup with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll never forget, we had an anniversary when we were young. Yeah, we're getting ready to have a 64th wedding anniversary.
Hallelujah.
64 years.
Hallelujah.
She has a lot of grace. I tell
Amen.
Her my jokes over and over and over.
I'm gonna pray for your mom and
you. She needs a lot of mercy. Same jokes. Ain't got nobody else. A dog don't care. He don't listen at all. Unless it's about a cat, then he hears perfect stuff. But everything about a cat is bad. Bad. Catatonic. It's bad. It's about dead. Catastrophe, something terrible has happened. Anytime it's a cat, it's bad, bad, bad. I can tell him a cat joke. 64 years. We don't just have a fact of marriage. We have fellowship.
Amen.
If I'm eating something that's really good, it's not satisfying me unless she tastes it.
Amen.
Go now. Try it. I don't want it. Yes, you do. You gotta taste it. We bought a bird. We didn't know it could talk so good. We didn't try to train it. One Thanksgiving, I had pumpkin pie with whipped cream on top. The bird was sitting in the cage, right there where you walk out of the kitchen, and I was eating it, and I said, And right out of nowhere, and it was a mini macaw. It wasn't that great big thing. It's a mini macaw.
Yeah.
And he's looking. What am I doing?
He was peeking through the crack in the door.
And all of a sudden, he said, it's good. It's good. I said, yeah. Took the whipped cream, no birds, took about a pumpkin. It's good. It's good. You two are together. You, if you, what same color, I tell you, salt and pepper. Amen. Because you're like a salt and pepper to shake.
Yeah.
He never talks about her as his own lady.
No.
Never. He never talks about her as my wife. You know, I got a wife. This is my wife. Let me introduce my wife. He always calls her by one love term. My sweetheart. My sweet, doesn't he?
He's my honey.
I'm sorry?
He's my honey.
Oh, don't let it get started. I tried that one Sunday, embarrassed the whole congregation. I didn't know where it was going to go. I wanted to put a stop to it pretty quick. I said, what is your love word for your partner? And we got some. It started going downhill. Anyway. Honey. Just honey or honey bunny or.
My
honey is him to you and your sweetheart. Play the last word to you. And I think, did I marry you, God?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Wow. How many years ago? 37 years ago. You should have seen me at 37.
Black hair.
Did I have a beard then? I think I did.
Yeah.
I did. It was black too?
Black.
Yep. Wow. Was I?
You were bald.
Was I looking good?
You were pretty good. Reason
I didn't button this one? Because I didn't want the button to fly out and hit anybody in the eye. You just wear it open. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, we've been called to more than a relationship with God.
Amen.
As Father and Son and children of God. We have been called to a fellowship relationship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him. What did Jesus want? He said, you're satisfied because you have all these material blessings. But you're not. And the reason that, and everybody that's into the material, following for the fish and loaves, they'll never find what he offers them. They'll never satisfy you God for fellowship and relationship.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of car you drive, how much money you have in the bank, if you're not partaking of him, if he isn't the bread of life that is sustaining you, church can't do it. If he isn't the bread of life.
Yeah.
If, listen, you know what he told the disciples? He said under Moses, they ate manna. Supernatural food from heaven.
Yeah.
That was a type and foreshadow of me, he said.
Amen.
He said they ate that manna that came down. You know what manna is? What the word means? What is it? Or what it is. They didn't know what it was, but they know its texture was as coriander seed and its taste was as wild honey. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
How sweet and satisfied. Jewish scholars said it was to every man as their own taste. God designed it to where if you love cucumbers in your salad would be full of cucumbers. And he designed it, if you hate cucumbers, then there would be no cucumbers. If you like pork chops, sanctified by the word of prayer, amen, hallelujah, which we're able to do. You can have pork. It tastes like pork chop. Isn't that neat? I like that idea. And if you like steak, it tastes like steak. And if you like meatloaf, it tastes like meatloaf. If you like fish and hush puppies, it tastes like fish and hush puppies and grits. Can you say amen? It was to every man that's his own taste. How do you satisfy over a million people? You can't unless you're God. Hallelujah. Whatever fell out of heaven, when they ate it, they said, that way before Campbell's soup, got it from them, I'm sure. Yeah. What they tell us, keep good. In the world,
that's right,
that can draw you away from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Why do you think those martyrs are laying down their lives? Amen. It's not for some political reason, military reason, some hate for some. No. Listen, they're laying down their lives because they have found an intimate relationship so satisfying in God they'd rather die than give it up. Single, so he had money. Are you still single?
Yeah. A little bit extra in the bank.
So he had money. I know, I worked with a guy, he bought a 409, a Chevrolet Impala with a 409 engine. 409 cubic inch Chevrolet Impala with a convertible top. That's when I bagged groceries at Winn-Dixie.
Okay.
We never caught you. We chased you for a long time. We still haven't caught Tubby. Anyway, he had three deuces, three two-barrel carburetors. So when he stepped on the gas, it drunk gas like you suck a pina colada milkshake through a straw. But he had money. You could buy the gas. Gas was cheap. 25 cents a gallon. Gas war would come along 19 cents a gallon. I used to pull in to take her out. Take her out. We had a big time.
Yeah.
Oh, just be alone with her. Amen. So when you pull in, give me $1 worth of gas. $1 worth of gas. Got a lot of gas. He had this big 409 Chevrolet Impala with three two-barrel carburetors. He got married. Now he's got a house, apartment rather, and he's got a wife, and he's got bills other than himself. Don't let that discourage you. It's worth it. If you ever, decide. But... I remember he come in that Impala and it didn't sound the same. He used to have that burr. And he just sitting idle with all that RP, all that torque, that motor in there. Burr. It wanted to go. And he come in just real smooth, just kind of slow like my car. Amen. Like I walk. Anyway, he come in, pulls up. I said, that car don't sound the same. He said, I got married. Okay. He said, I said, you still got, I was telling somebody about you had this 409 engine with three two-barrel carburetors. He said, no, I changed the whole head and manifold. He's running, get this, I thought at least he had a four-barrel. I don't know that much about cars, but at least something, he did some gasoline instead of starting and pushed down the pedal with all that horsepower. He said, we changed the manifold. He said, I got to save on gas. I got to save somewhere. I got to cut back.
Yeah.
Don't let that discourage you. It's worth it. He said, I don't know how the car ran. A motor that big, changed the manifold. Somebody had rigged it up with one two-barrel carburetor. That's what you run a straight six-cylinder, a small one.
Yeah.
I thought, Lord, Lord, Lord. But you know something? He's willing. Oh, he had this little thing. I wish I was rich enough to have both. But if I had to choose, I'd still marry the woman that I married. I can get a car. Cars, the material. Listen, the material. That car can't take the place of a relationship.
Amen.
With a person who loves you, and you can return that love too.
Amen.
There's nothing you can own that can take the place of that. And that's why the material message that's drawing so many Christians, that they don't know that what they really need is not more stuff to try to fill that hole in their heart and life. They need a genuine, real, not religious, but a real spiritual relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
You know what he said that got him in trouble? Talking about that real relationship. He said that under Moses they ate manna from heaven. I'm the true bread. And he said, if he that eats of me partakes of my body, that's got to be spiritual. He said, because my body is meat in thee.
Yes.
And my blood is drink in thee.
Amen.
And anyone, and if you eat of my body, drink of my blood, you have life in you. Everlasting, eternal life. You partake of Christ. Have you read that scripture? We are partakers of Christ.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we're just Christian. We keep our faith in Him. It means we have a relationship with Him of koinonia and fellowship. We're not being challenged to do that. Why? Because we got church. We got a building. We got stained glass. We got a steeple so tall it interferes with satellites circling the earth. And what does God do when we're satisfied with that? What does Christ do when you're satisfied with stuff? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door,
come on, brother.
I will come in.
Amen.
And suffer again.
Amen.
And the reason they were lukewarm is because, listen, if we don't have fellowship together, marriage is just a piece of paper.
Amen.
And that's why there's so many people living together. They've seen marriages that wasn't anything but a piece of paper.
Come on.
There was no real commitment and no real fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about sexual intimacy. I'm talking about when you have a relationship with each other that you're not complete without the other person.
Yeah,
and you can't enjoy something wonderful without sharing it with your mate.
Amen.
But if church is satisfactory, you look more.
Come on. Amen.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
If material gain is all you're in it for. Oh, there were people like that in the scripture.
Yeah.
But they never found in Christ what they needed. One of the songs my wife used to love is a song about what one disciple was different, wasn't he? Amen. John. Saint John. Listen for the koinonia. Are you ready? Saint, not Peter, not Paul. He wasn't brought in yet, but until he was, Saint John the Divine. And Saint John the Beloved.
Amen.
That disciple who laid his head on Jesus' breast.
Amen.
What? That disciple that did what? A lot of them had questions. Peter had questions. John said, I laid my head on his breast. I want to get closer to Him.
Yeah.
disciple that had discovered koinonia,
yeah,
until the others began to discover it, and I think he modeled it to them. And after a while, they're all scooting up.
Yeah.
Scooting up to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We get a building, all we got is a building. We don't get people hungry for God. That's all we got. Well, that's a nice building. Wow, that koinonia, that must have been a great, Laodicea must have been a fabulous place because they were rich and increased with goods. And Jesus said, let me in. Let me in! That anniversary, as we close and have communion, early on, he said, this guy came and he said, I have done something for y'all that you wouldn't do for yourself, and he had that right. He said, I have made you a reservation, and I think it was down at Dale Mabry somewhere, there was some fancy restroom where you don't have a coat, they have a coat to give you, so everybody in there is dressed to the standard of the steakhouse or whatever it was. He wasn't Western Sizzler or somewhere. He was just someplace. And he said, and y'all have, I've done this for you because I knew you wouldn't do it for yourself. I have reserved for you and Pamela a table for two. And he said, here's how that works. He said, when you introduce yourself, that table is for you. It is for you all night. You know why they play upbeat music at fast food restaurants? You go in and sit down. They want you to hurry and eat and hurry and get out and make room for somebody else so they can come in. This is a table for two. And there's one waiter assigned to that table. And he's not going to wait on no other table. Just you two. And at your table, and nobody else is going to well that table until you are ready to leave. And I've already paid for it. And I'm going to give you a check. So for tips or any incidentals that will take care of it. And I thought, I don't know.
Money, give me money.
I don't know.
I
don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, that's too fancy for the likes of me and her. But I knew what he was trying to achieve was for us.
Yeah.
Was an intimate evening where we could be alone together and look at each other and make eye contact.
Yeah.
You have a hole in your life and heart because you had a relationship. You had more than just somebody in your life. You had a relationship that fulfilled you and that you could fulfill. When it leaves a hole in your heart when it's not there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Christians got a hole in their heart and don't know it, and that's why they go from church to church and preacher to preacher looking for something to fulfill that hole.
Yeah.
And you can only find it in Jesus Christ. But if you ever find it in Him,
oh, come on.
I love the song, Brother Taylor, I search for Him. And I knew not what I searched for. I longed for Him.
Yeah.
And I knew not what I longed for.
Yeah.
Then I found Jesus. And I found what I was looking for.
Amen.
For He filled that longing down in my heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He can't fill it unless you long for it enough to open the door and let Him come in and establish that relationship. My body is bread indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats of my body, said koinonia, spiritual fellowship. He that eats of my body and drinks of my blood, here it is. Are you ready? Don't let it go past you. I want you to catch it. He will never hunger. He will never thirst. And on top of that, He'll have eternal life.
Amen.
For partaking of me.
Amen.
Partaking of me. And this symbolism today is not just to remind you of what he did for you on the cross, but what he's ready to do for you right now in personal, spiritual communion with him. That's why the love level is so low that people turn back and fall away and backslide. Is because they don't have a relationship with him that would cause us to reciprocate love to the one that loves us this much.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Peter fell in love. He fell in love with
Jesus.
Yes,
amen.
He experienced forgiveness and grace like Christ gave him.
Yes.
And you get that longing. That longing. And to them that look, everybody say long for it.
Long,
it's not just like the soul. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky. No, it's that heart.
Yes.
You know who's looking for it? Those who are longing for it.
Amen.
Amen. Daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved?
Come on.
No. Did it dissuade her? No, that longing was so strong.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
She went on and said, more women, daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved? I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't find any fulfillment in life until I find him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now come on, feminist. I understand that you don't need no man. Amen. I'm not talking about whether you need a man or not. I'm talking about this relationship with Christ that only he can fulfill.
Yes, sir.
Can you say
amen?
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
She said, watchman on the wall, have you seen him?
Yeah.
Didn't they hurt her or something? They told her to go away, get out of here, you're bothering us. Didn't dissuade her at all. She went a little further and a little further looking because she was longing. Looking because she was longing.
Amen.
Until she found him.
Right.
And she laid hold on him after the resurrection. Mary, was it Magdalene?
Magdalene
came to the cross,
Magdalene.
The one out of whom he cast seven devils.
Yeah.
Amen. She wasn't looking for stuff.
Come on.
She was looking for him,
yes,
whom
amen.
Her soul loved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
And amen. And when she saw him on resurrection morning, she ran to grab him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
He said, don't touch me. Now, one reason I believe is because he had business to do without any contamination of
amen.
Anything but the purity of his own body and blood that was sacrificed.
Sprinkled
that mercy seat
yes.
in heaven.
Amen.
Touch me not, for I've yet not yet ascended to my Father.
Yeah,
I can't stay here and be lovey-dovey right now, but I'm coming back to be lovey-dovey forever.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
If she got a hold of him, he'd had to hurt her. He'd had to do because the woman in the Song of Solomon said, I got a hold of him and I did not let him go until I took him to my mama house. She probably took him to her mama house and said, I want him. Well, I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to go there. I almost went, but I won't go. But I'm telling you, there's something in this love story.
Yeah.
There's something in his love for us.
Yes.
And his desire for us to love him back called koinonia.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Unless you eat of my body, drink of my blood,
you
have no life in you.
Amen.
You got church, you got religion.
Come on,
you know the dogma. You can recite the creed, but you don't have his life in you. Got a great creed, you know the dogma. After a while, you end up dissecting dead dogma.
Yeah.
If it has no life, it's meaningless.
Yeah.
It's right, but it'll never fill your heart with love for Christ.
Come on,
we all know how church works.
Yeah.
Why are people getting disillusioned with how church works? Well, they need more dancing, prancing people on the platform. No, they don't. They need him.
Yes, amen.
They need him.
Amen.
They don't need more entertainment. The world's loaded with entertainment.
Amen.
You said something, I took it prophetically. You didn't know you was a prophet, did you? You're a poet. But you said God, one Sunday boy, God is raising up young warriors that are going to follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I may be the age that I am, but this is not your cut and dry pabulum service for children. This is not children's church. Can you say amen? We've been in children's church too long. We don't need a puppet show. We don't need a platform show. We need a reality in God that will keep us close to Him, that we would never dream of turning back or going back or falling away from Him. We just pursue more of Him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. Tell me more. Whoever wrote that song had a longing. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more about who? Jesus. More of His mercy. More of His grace. More of His love. My soul can trace. Tell me more about Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Table for two. I thought that is going to be an experience. We had a problem, though. Our tires were bald. And there was enough money for the tip and any incidentals in that check that we could actually get us a set of tires. We had people in church. We were on a salary. Set. It was small. When I left Tampa Electric, I didn't get what I made at Tampa Electric. And it's okay, because I love Jesus.
Amen.
But I was told, if somebody in a love offering should give you $20, you report that, so we deduct that from your salary.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. I wonder if I can get my job back. Not about the money thing, it's just the way Christians are.
Yeah.
Not all Christians. Y'all are out of exception. I'm going to tell you something. I don't work for you. You couldn't pay me enough to work for you.
Amen.
I love you, but I wouldn't work for you. You can't buy me.
Amen.
Hey, no, you can't buy me. I'm not for sale.
Amen.
Brother Venable, there's a church wants you. It's running 1,500. It's got a great parsonage. They'll give you, they'll buy you a new car and make the payment. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, if they're not hungry for God, I don't want to be there.
Amen.
Amen. If they want to do what they've always been doing and want me to be the MC, the master of ceremonies on Sunday morning, I do not want to be there.
Amen.
If they're not coming because they care something about God and about Jesus Christ, I have nothing of any real baggage to offer them.
Amen.
If you want entertainment, go to the movie. You want entertainment? Go to the wrestling match. I used to go and sit out there and holler and scream, "Kill him! Tear his head right off! Kick him! Bite him!" With a friend of mine from work, little old scrawny guy, he's sitting there and he got so excited when somebody was cheating. Hey man, he jumped up out of his seat. We had to hold him back from going in the ring. Lord have mercy. If you got a hold of him, Goliath would have won. Big time. He wanted in there. I'm going to jump on that guy with cheating. I said, "You're going to sit down right here. We're going to leave you here. You came with us, and if you want to go home with us, you sit down right here." So we missed our table for two. We had hamburgers and pizza or something like that. They bought a set of tires for our car. But when we ate that pizza, I looked in her eyes. Amen.
I love you.
Well, I chewing on that pepperoni. Amen. Glory to God. We made it intimate. Hallelujah. Amen. You ever see anybody laugh so much they come out their nose? Well, I wouldn't even go there. We had an intimate evening. It's fine. Laodicea had material wealth. They had no longing for Christ. And you know what he said? If you don't have any life, I am the way. I am the
Amen.
Truth. I am the light.
Yes, sir.
I'm the true bread that came down out of heaven.
Yes.
And he that eats of my body and drinks of my blood has life.
Yes.
Eternal.
Amen.
And not only that, he has fulfillment in life.
Yes.
He will never hunger. He will never thirst. You know who the world is wooing? Hungry, thirsty people that are not finding that satisfaction in Christ.
Yes.
That's who's turning back.
Amen.
That's who's falling away. And they may go to church on Sunday. Sit in church on Sunday. Clap their hands on cue. Raise their hands during the worship service. And walk out the door and have no relationship of koinonia with God or with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So here's a lady that got every Sunday got out on time. Knew what was going to happen before she got there. 14 years sitting in a coffee shop with two other people. Opening the Bible, talking about God, talking about Jesus, and finding more fulfillment than in all of the things that we put forward that's supposed to take the place of a real, genuine, personal fellowship relationship with Christ. Jesus said, listen, you open that door, we're going to have koinonia.
Amen.
Amen. You won't be focused on the material, hunting for something to satisfy. It doesn't mean you have to take a vow of poverty and be poor like a monk somewhere. No, it means you have to find what you need only in Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Praise.